Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Socarellis.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Don't return to sender, it's Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Whoops, it's Nancy Oakes.
Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
The Bay Area betches. Patches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa. Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings. Joe Wyndham.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
It's Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. And she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
We love you guys.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Bravs. It's me, Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hey, you handsome little devil. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Good to be here with you. Everybody, go check out Ben's cartoon. It's Amaz. It is on YouTube. It's called Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. And there's a bunch of episodes, really funny, good work. And you can catch his other podcast called Game Brain. And I also do the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. We were going to recap this new Labor of Love show on Fox. But then we found out that these Bachelor repeats are going to be entire seasons of Bachelor in one night. So we're going to switch over to that. So go listen to that. I'm going to get educated in Bachelor, girl.
So it's going to be like looking back at like season one, season two.
Yes, and they're going to do the whole season in one night. So I'm in. It's going to be like college for a Bachelor.
Wow. That's going to be amazing because I seem to remember. I mean, I'm not very well versed in The Bachelor. I've definitely seen it. I've paid attention to some seasons more than others. I haven't watched it in forever. But like I seem to remember the first season was – I feel like it's a little different from the first season, right? I feel like it sort of like found its own voice. I seem to remember that The Bachelor, it came out like, 2002? I mean, it's been around a long-ass time. And it was huge. And then it kind of like fizzled out and was fizzling and fizzling and was almost like gone. And then they kind of like rejiggered it. And once I think they I'm speaking as an outsider. I could be totally wrong. But it seems like once they figured out that the next Bachelorette would come from The Bachelor cast, the next Bachelor would come from The Bachelorette. It seemed like they started to create like a continuity or something, and it just became like must-watch TV for so many people.
Well, I don't know how any of the timelines work. I've just been recapping it for a few years, but God, that shit's hilarious. I've always wanted to go back, but that's so much to go back to watch. I mean, they're long episodes just in the one season. But now I'm going to get it all in a short amount of time, and I'm very excited. Wow. But we're not here to talk about those hookers. We've got different hookers to talk about today, because it is Watch What Crappens about Bravo. But before we start, let's just say, go check out our videos. We did a live show this week. Super fun. We did the season finale of Vanderpump Rules. It's almost 2 hours long. And that was super fun. And then we're going to be doing Real Housewives of New York this week as well. And all our videos are up there. Our bonus episode is going to be talking about what we cook, cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get all that stuff at Patreon. And we're also giving shout outs to small businesses. We know it's rough out there during this crazy corona time. So, yep. Ben, do you want to start?
Yeah, here's one from Brittany Price, who we met in Chicago. Brittany sent us a lovely photo of us. She came to our VIP thing. There's a picture of us over in City Winery. She is so pretty, brought back fond memories of that, of our most recent show, which was so lovely. That was a great time. But anyway, she is a travel agent with FTM Travel. And, you know, travel agencies have definitely... it's definitely been hard on travel agents and travel agencies. And she specializes in travel to all Disney destinations. She says World, Land, Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, and Aulani in Hawaii. Okay. And also does Universal Parks and Resorts and Hawaiian Islands. So, and she does international and domestic destinations. And so even though travel may not seem to be in reach at the moment, it will be back soon enough. And it's never too early to plan. So the point is this. Booking travel can be a pain in the ass for a lot of people, or they're just too busy, or they just don't want to deal with it. So just hit up Brittany. Okay. You can reach her at Brittany@FTMtravel.com. And she spells her name Brittani, Brittany. Or you can just go to FTMtravel.com/Brittany-Price. Yes. And she said she'd be more than happy to help her fellow Geraldines. So go
and Emily has sent us, her friend Ruth has an online boutique called Three Irish Sisters. They provide high quality, smart, reliable Irish gifts. So you can find that at threeirishsisters.com, and you can find it on social under the same name. And then she's also talking about the Little Timmy Project. It's a not-for-profit, and they're seeking to provide maternal and infant care to maternal deserts all over Indiana. So right now, their current goal is providing diapers to family in need. And so you can find littletimmy.org. That's where the Little Timmy Project is if you want to help out with that. So threeirishsisters.com and littletimmy.org.
Threeirishsisters.com. I would like, if I were to get an Irish gift, I would like some sort of tribute to Enya. That's what I would like for my Irish gift. That's how I actually wanted to arrive in my mailbox. I open up my mailbox and my mailbox just goes.
Well, guys,
it's gonna be one of those things.
I've got an Irish gift for you. Her name is Dorit Kinsley. She's on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, Dorit Kinsley from the high country of Ireland.
So here we are with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, episode 6 of the season, darling.
This episode is titled, My Name is Garcelle Beauvais, and I'm more famous than these bitches, so why aren't they talking to me?
Pretty much. Yeah, Garcelle is not having it. And we open with a restaurant, I believe, that is a nod to Lisa Vanderpump, because it's called Cattle and Claw. Enjoy not having me, darlings.
I think Cattle and Claw, I'm not even going to bother looking it up because I've definitely heard of it and I feel like it's in the Beverly Center right around the corner from Yardbird. They've been going to
Yard House, Yardbird.
So everyone just think about that. And I'm like really holding myself back from Google. Okay, I'm going to Google. I want to see where it is at this point because now this is just how I am. This is one of the quirks of my personality, okay? I have to Google these things and find out about the local businesses, okay? Cattle and Claw.
Well, while you
Yes, Googled. It is.
Okay.
It is adjacent to Yardbird. So Bravo is sending everyone to the Beverly Center. It's the new
Bravo's got a vested interest in the Beverly Center at the moment.
I think they do. I think they really do. I don't know why I feel like so compelled to share that with the audience every single time they go to the Beverly Center. But I'm like, guys, they went back to the Beverly Center.
There's an Old Navy right across the street, you guys. That is the point.
They went to Obica, okay?
So we open at Cattle and Claw, where Garcelle's meeting up with all of her girlfriends. And she is wearing these sunglasses. I mean, she's going to get along just fine with Dorit. She's wearing D and G sunglasses. And one side of the eye is a D and the other side is a G. And they're shaped in diamonds.
Oh, Lord.
Did not notice that.
Lord. Oh, my God.
That sounds like like just slightly better than the sunglasses we all dealt with for 10 years during the 2000s, where every time it was New Year's, people wore sunglasses that had like a two on one side.
Yes, it's fucking New Year's. That's what they are. It's like rich people New Year's glasses. Fucking rich people. So she's with all her girlfriends and basically to show us what real friendship is, because she's like, these are girlfriends. This is what girlfriends do. Yeah. And then throughout the episode, she's like, and that's how girlfriends are.
Yeah. It was sort of, oh.
Ever since you pointed out her laugh, now I see Garcelle's it every time.
Like her inner crew. She laughs all the time. She's like, well, we're here at Cadillac Claw. She, it was kind of funny because one of the women was Will Smith's ex. The women are all like, Garcelle's friend, Garcelle's friend, Garcelle's friend, Will Smith's ex, Garcelle's friend.
Yeah. I had to look her up immediately, and I found out a lot about her because I fell down a little Cherie rabbit hole. So she was married to Will Smith, but then she didn't like being married to Will Smith because he was like taking her light because he was becoming so famous, and then she wasn't as famous, and she's like, fuck this. Like, I don't like this. It doesn't feel good. So she left his ass. And that's what she says in interviews, and good for you. I love somebody with enough self-awareness to be like, I'm married to someone who's becoming a superstar, and I'm fucking annoyed with it. How about that?
Yeah. And she was like, you know what? New life, new me. I'm throwing out all my old clothes. I'm getting a whole bunch of new ones. It's going to be a whole brand new look. I want dresses. I want fresh prints. Oh, damn it. Fresh prints everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, I went far from
that. That was a good one. That was a reach.
It was a reach. I was like, I'm going for it. I'm going to make a fresh prints joke, a pun. Fresh prints in my wardrobe. Damn it.
That was Ben doing some quarantine yoga right there, girls.
Yeah, you guys, when you guys tell your friends about our podcast, like, it's such a good podcast. Sometimes they like make puns on fabrics, and they were like with hip hop stars and fabrics. I was like, you don't even want to hear about Q-Tip's ex. She was cleaning out her ear, and then all of a sudden.
So Garcelle's like, well, I married a person that I thought would have my back. I don't know if you guys ever got that email. They're like, yes, we got it. Okay. I unsubscribed from the email list about how much your husband fucking cheated on you. Okay. Take me off the list.
I mean, I thought that he would always have my back, and to find out that he was cheating, I mean, there were no signs from me. Did I tell you that he was an agent at CAA? No signs whatsoever that he could be duplicitous.
Well, it sure changed my outlook. All right, we get it. You sent an email. Take me off the list. Oh, since it's that kind of a day. So, yeah. Cherie is like, well, my obstacle would be not hating this man. And she's like, I could never hate the man my kids love so much. You should see how he respects a donut pyramid.
Oh, yeah. So, and then Garcelle's like, by the way, Cherie, who's my best friend and definitely in my circle, you know that I dated your ex. I don't know why I'm only bringing you up now after 20 years of friendship.
I love that Garcelle's like, oh, I'm just here to spend time with the girls and remind everyone that I dated Will Smith. You're welcome. Yeah.
Now, this is the story of a model who moved to L.A., and I wish I knew the lyrics better, even though I was just watching Fresh Prince last night while I was eating dinner. The true story.
Now, listen, sometimes my kids need me to explain to them things, but sometimes parents just don't understand.
Wow. Well, when my husband cheated, it was a real nightmare on my street. Anyway, so glad it's almost summer time.
So Garcelle Re-Will was like, well, he was hot, I was single. It's what happens in Hollywood. It's also what happens everywhere. Okay. So then we go to Kyle We go to Not Vanderpump in her giant Not Villa Rosa backyard playing with her 10 not tiny dogs.
Yeah. And Erica calls, is like, hey, Kyle, sense that you were doing nothing because you don't really do anything with your life. And I just wanted to say, I'm starting to work on Chicago. I'm doing my vocals and my choreo, and I'm going to be a Broadway star.
Yeah, just how she phrases everything. She's like, hey, Kyle. Well, we started the choreography on Chicago, and we started the vocals on Chicago. I'm like, yes, Erica. We know that you're going to be in Chicago. So I looked up Chicago reviews because I had to know. Like, how did Erica do in Chicago?
Uh-oh.
Well, one article that came up was Andy Cohen was talking about going with his friends, and he was mad that he only got two comps and they had to pay for the other tickets. And then he bitched about the theater being all old and run down and the cast basically being old and run down. Yeah.
You know what? Did he say this on his show or something? That is crazy. Yeah. Oh my God. That is crazy that he would go. Broadway is overpriced, if you ask me. But I also know that those Broadway performers, I feel like they don't get a lot of money unless you're a star. And you want your free tickets because you're Andy Cohen? Pay for the tickets, you're rich.
Yeah. And also, Chicago's not one of the most expensive shows. It's one of the cheaper ones, for sure. Yeah, and then you're going to come after Velma. It's like you said something about her being run down, like ish. I'm not quoting, okay? I just read it quickly. And then the other one, there were no like formal reviews that I found, but one of them was from like TripAdvisor. It's one star and the headline. And it's so funny that it even comes up in search under Erica Chicago reviews. But it's just one star and it says, Erica Girardi is a dumpster fire. Don't waste your money.
Wow.
So that was funny. hilarious that that's the one review
does
that
not
comes
play
up.
Well, to the TripAdvisor crowd, that's good to know. Well,
Frank
seemed to like my performance, except for one person on TripAdvisor who kept spitting at me from the audience.
TripAdvisor Tiffany, what a bitch.
Sorry that you are dumb enough to think that I'm actually a hotel and I'm a Broadway show right now.
Oh, God. So Kyle's like, I cannot believe you're moving to New York. And she's like, well, I'm calling, Kyle, because, you know, Chicago aside, you're the only person whose birthday I don't know for the Sassy Astrologer, which we'll call Sastrologer. All right, Kyle, that's right, that's why I'm in Chicago.
Be calling it all that jazzology, all right? So I know a freaking good astrologist, and if he can't figure out these bitches, we're going to have to dig up Nostradamus, also known as Carlton.
So Kyle was born on January 11th at 6:30 p.m., which is just like so Kyle. It's like
to be born when everyone else wants dinner.
Yes. Well, it's like after New Year's, so no one wants to party. It's like, oh God, we gotta go to Kyle's thing. Like, we've already eaten enough, you know, we're fucking sick of this shit. And it's 6:30 p.m. where it shouldn't be rush hour traffic, but it is rush hour traffic. It's like the most frustrating time of night.
I now want to see who else is born on January 11th, because I feel like I want to see who is the most famous person that's born on January 11th that she probably brags. Amanda Peet. We could do better. 11th. Mary J. Blige. Okay, Mary J. Blige and Kyle just had the same birthday. A little weird.
Oh, I love me some Mary J. Blige.
I know. It's just a weird crossover. Not a lot of big famous people. I'm just looking here. It's kind of weird to be.
What
this
I see
up.
Are a lot of people who are less famous than their siblings. Oh, Yolanda Hadid.
Yolanda?
That's weird, right? Wait, is that possible? Is that Yeah, Yolanda Hadid.
I'm not seeing anyone very famous.
Kyle Richards is under Yolanda Hadid, which I love. Yolanda comes in at number 15, and Kyle comes in at number 22. LOL, you're even playing second fiddle on the birthday chart.
You know what's sad is that I'm looking on Wikipedia for January 11th, and Kyle's not even listed. She didn't even make it in. Okay, like she didn't even make it into Wikipedia. I mean, Andre Meyer, a Swedish skier, made it in.
Oh, Holy Snapple. That is some Snapple Richards flavor right there, honey.
Yeah, wow, Kyle. Wow, she can't even get into Wikipedia. The Wikipedia birthday list. Wow.
Okay, so yeah, Kyle has a lame birthday. So Erica's like, well, I know a freaking good astrologist, and if he can't figure out these crazy bitches, we better big up. Yeah, Nostradamus, what she said. So yeah. Erica's like, well, what was with Denise, by the way? I've never seen her act like that, Kyle. She was angry.
That was acting. That was acting. I've seen her angry before. So Kyle goes, yeah, she was getting angry with me. I didn't even know where that came from. So by the way, everyone take note. This is the episode where Kyle starts to paint Denise Richards as unstable, two-faced. Like, which Denise Richard are we going to see? She's totally gaslighting Denise Richards. Like, because you can be someone who's chill and then someone pisses you off and you get mad. But Kyle is now planting these seeds all over the episode where she's like, I mean, you just never know what you're going to get with her. I mean, she's one way, and one way, another way. And like, I don't know. So she's implying that she's fake. She's a little crazy. That's like classic Kyle Richards.
Yep, they're crazy. That's Kyle every single time. Kyle's a rotten human being. And I'm so glad that Denise is doing so well and is such a badass on this show. And I really hope she takes Kyle down. Oh, I hate Kyle.
Yeah. I know.
Not real hate people. Housewives hate. Calm down housewives. Over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we go over to Denise and she's like, Sammy, what the fuck you want to eat, all right? I got some dicks on a plate over here, all right? And Sammy's like, I don't want cheese or bacon. She's like, oh, these kids, am I right? God. Denise, kids, in my mind, is Kim Richards and Captain Lee, basically.
Wait, I just want to say one other thing before we move into the Denise scene. Two things. I don't know if you noticed, but Kyle, her cell phone case, it says the Beverly Hilton on it. It's like, because it has the Beverly Hilton wallpaper, which is like green leafy stuff, and it says the Beverly Hilton.
Yes.
So first of all, gross. Hilton cell phone case? Okay.
Yes, thanks for hating gay people on your cell phone cover, Kyle.
And second of all, Kyle also says, you know, I'm just seeing a different side to Denise that I never knew existed. And if I knew where it came from, it would make sense. So again, gaslighting.
Yeah, totally. And also, now that we're stuck on this Kyle scene, I took a screenshot of the scene because Kyle makes me so crazy in everything she does. Because she's wearing a shirt. I just sent it to you, Ben. I just sent you the text. It's like, love, but it's like spray painted all over her shirt or something. She's wearing a sailor hat, like a Bluto hat from Popeye. And then she's wearing like little John Lennon sunglasses and her stupid Beverly Hilton cell phone. Yeah. Like everything in this picture is gross, it's Kyle. Terrible. Okay? Everything is terrible.
I feel like she's trying to wear an outfit that's supposed to be kind of like graffiti chic, but it actually looks like someone just saw her awful outfit and was like, I am going to put graffiti on it to help it, and whoops, I failed. Sorry, made it worse.
Yeah, Kyle's become so hated that people are just like tagging her as she walks down the street. Her shirt just says goodbye, Kyle, in like spray paint.
In different languages. I'm surprised there's no like Hebrew letters and Chinese letters and different alphabets from across the world, Cyrillic or whatever.
Yeah, wingdings. So over at Denise's house, yeah, she's getting her kid's hair done because it's homecoming time. And she's like, you know, last year Sammy went to homecoming, which was a lot to wrap my hair around. Okay, but this year she's got a date with a boy. She likes him very much.
Last, you know, she tried to dye her hair and turned out magenta. It looked real silly. And, you know, I think sometimes she does react. She just tries to get reactions out of me because, you know, I'm a mom. But guess what? It's not easy because listen, when you got a hernia and a big dick in your vag half the time, it's hard to get a rise out of me, okay?
So she's talking about how people have this impression of her being wild and crazy because she was married to Charlie, but that he was sober when they got married. So we weren't just this wild, swinging couple, all right? I mean, we weren't. And when I was pregnant, things got very dark and toxic, and I filed for divorce when I was 6 months pregnant, which is crazy. I mean, geez, this woman has been through a lot with that a-hole.
She has. Also, I was in a movie called Wild Things, which doesn't really help. But anyway.
Fortunately, you know, I'm the prettiest girl in the room because I was also the star of a movie called Drop Dead Gorgeous. So it works out.
I had a real awkward experience when the government came over and they trying to get me to go to Mars. I was like, I'm not an actual Starship Trooper, you know.
God, I love that movie. I used to so love good. That movie.
Anyway, so back to Erica and Kyle, and they're still talking. And Erica is, she's upset that Denise, kept bringing up again the issue with like the kids at the dinner table, and she's like, Erica's like, I think that Denise has an issue with the group. I'm like, really? Like, no shit, Sherlock. She's pissed off that you guys were like talking really loudly in front of the kids. I mean, admittedly, that's Denise's own stupid fault for inviting her kids to her housewives taping, but you know, she's annoyed.
Well, it's just Erica getting mad that someone won't let something drop. I mean, ooh, spider in a web. Remember her whole thing? Like, Erica never lets anything drop. Give me a break. And Kyle's like, and you apologize. I mean, who is this person? I don't even know her. Is she okay? And Erica's like, yeah, well, of course I did. But, you know, Kyle, we're at a table with adults. And this is the same person who brought up happy endings and nobody judged her. Which I guess the difference is she didn't do that right in front of her kids.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I mean, I would be confused, you know? Too. I think we were all a little confused as we watched that happen. We even said it like, you're with Charlie Sheen. Why are you acting so surprised by this?
Yeah.
So I think Erica's point stands.
I agree that, like, I felt like Denise was overreacting, like she was getting mad. And that was my reaction. But then it turns into Kyle and Erica just, they keep going and going and going. Look, someone said they didn't like it. You apologized. You're right. But she brought it up at that dinner because she hadn't talked to everybody. She had only talked to you. You know what I mean? And she's making it sound like she won't let it drop, and she just keeps shaming Erica.
And the reason why Denise was mad last week was that when Denise thanked everyone for coming, Kyle just didn't even respond. And it was rude. It was rude that she walked out. She was rude that she didn't even respond. And that she made it all about her. And obviously Denise has just sort of lingering issues anyway, you know?
Well, that Erica's like, well, no one judged her when she talked about happy endings. And Kyle goes, well, maybe this is why she acts holier than thou, to overcompensate. Oh, Kyle.
And then she goes,
really,
and
Kyle,
then she
the
goes,
one who got so mad when Lisa Vanderpump made a hooker joke in front of Portia. Or the one who had a freak out when Brandy mentioned that she might have smoked marijuana once or twice. Come on, Kyle.
Exactly. And then Kyle goes, is this the real her? And the other one wasn't. I'm just confused. Like, oh, you are so
Kyle
malicious.
Sucks so hard. This is my note for the scene. Oh, fuck off, Kyle, with your stupid shirt and your stupid hat and your stupid phone case and your stupid glasses.
But you know what, though? It was such a good episode because it's like, I love that like half the cast is on to her bullshit right now. And it's so good. It's like deeply satisfying. Right?
Yeah, it really is. So then we go over to, Erica rehearsal.
Yeah, so she's learning to dance and stuff from a guy named Greg, who I think Dom might be friends with. I'm not sure at this point. I feel like all the dancers know each other. But they're learning to dance, and she's like, I don't want to let the cast down, so okay, knees together, knees out, knees together, knees out.
He's like, it's so amazing to meet you. I'm going to try not to act like a 9-year-old boy.
Well, don't act mad either. I'll fuck you, Greg. All right, let's get on with it.
She goes, playing someone like Roxy Hart, it's going to take me to places emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, vaginally, orally, sportsly. I'm running out of illies, but you get the point. I've never been pushed as an artist this far.
Oh, that was acting. Thank you. Thank you. So then the cast of Chicago sends Erica a message. They're like, hey, Erica, we're really excited to meet you. We're sending you the warmest welcome and all that jazz. Okay, we got that one loaded. Okay, who's next? All right. Hey, Countess Luann, we're so excited to meet you. We're sending you the warmest welcome and all that jazz. All right, who's next?
Betty White, okay, hi, it's great to meet you. We're sending you the warmest welcome. Open arms.
All right, next. Vitamin C, we're really excited to meet you. We're sending you the warmest welcome and all that jazz.
Tori Spelling, we're sending you the warmest welcome. We can't wait to meet you.
Tori Amos, we're really excited to meet you. A little confused how this is going to work, and we're sending you the warmest welcome and all that jazz.
That poor cast. They're like, wow, I'm so glad we get another fucking person who's making like 18 times as much as we're making for doing nothing.
Yeah, like, oh, wow, this is really exciting that the big sister from Mr. Belvedere has been cast in our show. And so anyway, but it's
cool. Erica's so that lady in a turban at a Broadway show. She's like, it's different when you're the lead. You know, the pressure is not to let my cast down. I was like, oh, they're yours now. Come on. So Greg is like, so basically she cries when she sees the message and stuff.
She's excited.
Yeah. So then as she should be. So then Harry's like, yeah.
You go over to... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, you said Harry, so I just wanted to set the scene that we were going over to Harry Hamlin in his driveway.
Yeah. Harry is talking to a car rental guy in his driveway, and he's like, I've never taken the coverage on a rental before, so this does run on nuclear fusion, right? Really into that. Just want to make sure that that's been clear this season. Okay.
Do we know if this car can outpace Big Pharma? I'm just kidding. I heard about what happened at that dinner party. Wow. Wow.
And Lisa's like, whoa, I never thought I'd see you in a Range Rover, Harry. That is nuts. It's a Range Rover. Come here, dog. Come here, dog. How are you?
Harry's been doing a play with Stephanie Powers in Delaware right before her engagement in Chicago. It's a great play. It's called Wait, We're in Delaware? You gotta see it.
When you're a famous celebrity couple, the hustle never stops, baby. So he's like, so she goes, are you having fun? And he's like, oh, you know, getting standing ovations every night, people screaming my name. Yeah, that's pretty great. But I missed the DNA thing, so that was rough.
Yeah. How was that ridiculous party for our children? How was that? It was great. It was great, Amelia. Her head seems so much better now.
Well, you know, I'm really impressed with the way that they've been able to find clothes from overseas on the internet and sew their names onto them. That's been pretty impressive, actually. So,
yeah, I'm so glad that we spent that tuition for the new school, and now I have to do a play in Delaware to afford it. I'm glad we did that. And yeah.
So she's like, God, I'm glad Amelia's back from New York. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, people go to Parsons to learn how to create a clothing line. And she's already got that down. She's going to be able to skip that course on how to have a famous mother. So, you know, good for her.
Yeah. Hey, question is Aaron still running around with tinfoil on his head and talking about magnets? I'm just curious. What did I miss, really?
So Rena's like, yeah, we're happy now. I mean, we've had some issues, but we've had family therapy. Harry and I had therapy. The kids have therapy. I have alone therapy. The cleaning lady has therapy. Dog has
therapy.
The rat
has therapy.
The rat in the wall has therapy.
We even invited Stephanie Powers to therapy. We're like, girl, get your flight out of Delaware and come to our therapy, Stephanie Powers. You want to talk about a real heart-to-heart?
Betty White's finally over her rough stint in Chicago, so therapy works, people. Therapy works.
We have a group session with Joan Van Ark, just for the fun of it. Just for the fun of it.
She's like, can I pull that hair off your face, please? He's like, well, I've got some blackheads on my back if you want to get those, too. She's like, and then we just cut away.
That was the name of the play, actually. We've got some blackheads on my back if you want to take care of those, too. By Tennessee Williams. Mama, Mama, those blackheads will keep on coming. Well, maybe you just have to stay here near Mama and we'll take care of them. Don't go into the outside world.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So next we go to Dorit pulling up in some crazy ass car that she can't fucking afford to Buca di Beppo. Who shows up in a car where the doors go up sideways, okay?
Yeah.
When they've just been sued for like millions of dollars and lost.
It's like a Lamborghini. I mean, I'm pretty sure she just arrived from 1985 and like Christopher Lloyd is somewhere waiting, looking for his time machine. She's like, I mean, it's a full. I don't know if it's a Ferrari or a Lotus, but it's like you're at a Buco di Beppo. Okay, you did not just arrive at like the premiere for Chris Hemsworth's movie or of some sort. Like you were at literally a Buco di Beppo.
Unbelievable. She is so full of shit. Well, I've got my new 9,000 square foot home, a Lambda spaceship Guinness. And here I am, totally fine, no problems in the world, ready to design Buco di Beppo, where I'll be making $50 billion to pay for what. It's like, who are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly. But now what was really cool is we finally got an origin story, because we know that Dorit has, you know, there's all these rumors that she steals a lot of things, etc. And one of our favorite clips from the past few years is Dorit walking into a car dealership. And then hopefully you can hear this. This is what you hear when she walks in. Ladies. Of course, it's not playing. So that's great. That's great.
It played.
Oh, it did? Oh, I didn't hear it. Young ladies. So it's one of our favorite things. And then she walks into Buco di Beppo and then she goes, "Hello, darling." And this guy goes,
she's like, "I think I'm on time right now. Right on time. You might want to call TV. Well, I've got very exciting news. My hubby just landed." He's like, "Oh, I thought you were going to say you were pregnant."
He just landed off of his bed. He has trouble sometimes because the diabetes 2, 3, 4, and 5 affect his legs terribly. So she's like, "This is Robert Earl. He's the CEO of Buco di Beppo, and he really is family. I mean, when I'm there, your family." Like, no, Dorit, no, you're branding in the wrong direction, wrong way, wrong restaurant.
Robert's like, I brought you here because I really need to know how committed you are to this. And I was like, what has she got? What's this, like a casting couch? This is an awkward setup, is what I'm saying. It's not the right era to be saying that. Like, I brought you down here just so you can show me your commitment. To what? To decorating a fucking room at Buco di Beppo?
I know.
Put your fupa away, sir.
So then PK shows up. Baby, Papa. is this the future of the Real Housewives? Being at Buco di Beppo while someone says baby and Bubba? It's just gonna be all buh sounds from here on out.
And she's like, "You look great, Bubba." And Robert's like, "Actually, you look kind of swollen." And PK's like, "Oh, do I?" And so PK gives us the background story. He's like, "I knew Roger from the club scene in London. He actually owned the premier casino in London. It was beautiful, babe, beautiful. I might have taken a couple of bucks off Robert." And so he said, "Who is this PK character?"
"Who is this homeless man in the lobby who keeps begging for money from people?"
Yeah, he brought, like, literally was lifting off of Robert. It's like, "Where'd my wallet go?" "Got me again, PK."
"Now listen here, you two. I need to know that this is a real commitment and not just something fun that you think you're going to do. Just because we're at Buco di Beppo, this is serious business here. Are you guys in this or are you not in it?"
"Now listen, when I agree to do anything, I take 100%. I'm not just going to steal a purse from your right. I'm going to steal a family star, Robert."
"Now listen, I'm not a restaurateur. I'm not going to be cutting tomatoes or slicing Italian things. I'm going to be bringing creatives. So here's my vision. How about we make it look like an Italian restaurant?" It's like, sort of already there.
"I think you should serve some pasta here, Robert."
"I put my touch on it, okay? How about we play Italian music? There we go.
So she's like, "Robert, if you had to evaluate my commitment so far, what would you give me, Robert?" And he's like, "Oh, I'd give you a 3, maybe a 3.5. And PK's like, "In all fairness, babe, I know you're a 4. Listen, the only 4 in this relationship is you, okay, sir?"
When you get a failing grade from Buco di Beppo, that's harsh. That's real harsh.
When the laziest restaurant on earth is telling you you're not trying hard enough, you need to evaluate yourself.
I wonder if I've ever been to a Buco di Beppo. Is there one up at Universal Studios? Yeah, I think I remember.
Is that one in the City Walk? It has all the dining rooms are like a different style.
Oh, is that why they can have your Dewey Kemsley experience? Dewey Kemsley pop-up experience at Buco di Beppo?
Yeah.
I feel like I remember when I was a PA on a TV show, like literally in 2002, 18 years ago. I seem to remember, since the show was on the Universal lot, that I think one time we got Buco di Beppo, and I think I actually really liked it.
It's old said family style. That's why I call it the laziest restaurant, because you're like, why serve 10 people when you could serve one large dish?
Because you're feeling good in the neighborhood. No, wrong restaurant to eat.
Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders, don't upset us.
For the seafood lover in you. No.
PK's like, so, how's our other friend in the business? And Robert's like, well, you know, Chuck E. Cheese is doing quite well, rat little bastard. Yeah, actually, much better than he should be doing. He's made of fiberglass. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Leona Helms has been dead for many years. I don't know if you've known that. No, not that friend. Not that friend. And they're talking about Lisa, and like, it's Rita starts talking about how, like, their friendship and whatever. And she says that basically Lisa shut the door and locked it and threw away the key to their friendship. I'm like, I think that's more like you and Kyle did that to Lisa.
Yeah. Come on. Trying to rewrite history. Why even bring it up? You guys are such losers. You know, it's like people are starting to like you again. Just be quiet.
Yeah. Focus on Buco di Beppo and not on the Sir Empire.
Yeah. She's like, by no means am I trying to compete with Lisa Vanderpump or follow in her footsteps. I'm designing restaurants. I'm not just opening them. I'm designing them. Now I want a chandelier inside a chandelier here.
How about a planter right in the middle of the dining room that people have to get by, and if there's a fire, only the best will survive.
Babe, why don't you tell them your idea for goat bowls?
That's right, we're going to serve some goat bowls. People love them.
Have you thought about a bucatini? Oh, that's actually it's actually already a pasta. Oh, look at that, I'm already innovating.
Pompa de Peppo. Pompa de Pompo, I've got it!
Buca Buca. So, so Robert's like, well, I'm sure that Ken and Lisa only wish us luck. And PK goes, publicly. Yeah. I don't know why I made him Australian, but I did for that moment.
Yeah. I love when people shade other people for not harassing them in public.
I know.
Look at her being so polite and not trashing us all over town. What a bitch.
Look at that lady having manners. So Dorit's like, I'm designing a room in a restaurant, and hopefully I'll be designing many restaurants. And PK goes, or many rooms and many restaurants. Yes. So well put, baby. So well put.
Let's use the diabetes one voice. How about that? Keep the two.
So Robert's like, listen, both of you, this is a business. And he goes, well, you've got to speculate to accumulate, Robert. And Robert's like, absolutely not, actually. It's not a saying.
All right. This is all I need to know from you guys. Are you capable of handling a magic bullet? Oh, dear. I'm afraid we can't continue on with this venture.
So my next question is, does Kyle just keep bacon in between her toes to keep those dogs into her? Like, what is going on? Why is the dog always under Kyle's dressing table? It's not like it's sleeping under there or relaxing. It's just always got his head under her fucking makeup table.
You know, when you're a Kyle, you wind up with Kyle dogs. And I think that her dogs are just like, because if Kyle were a dog, that's what she would do too, I think.
Just
I don't know what my logic is. I don't even know what any of that even means. I'm just saying things that sound shady but really make no sense.
So
it's a Kyle dog.
It's a Kyle dog. Head under the table. So Kyle, we're at Kyle's, and Mauricio's eating, and she's like, honey, what are you doing? And he's like, eating. You made a sandwich yourself? Oh my god, I didn't even know you knew how to do that, Maury.
Hey, you ever notice how when you put two pieces of bread together and you're having a sandwich, it sort of is like you're having a small loaf of bread, but with meat inside it? Oh, man.
Oh, that's hilarious.
She's like, well, I'm going to a party with a psychic because that always works out well for me. And he's like, oh, that sounds fun. This sounds like it's going to be such a great night for you, babe. Wow.
Yeah. And then was it here when Kyle starts fretting about her mini her shirt? She's like, is this too short? And he's like, babe, it's like a little too short. And she's like, well, what's wrong with it being too short? He's like, because I'm not with you. Something like that, right?
Yeah. But first Sutton calls and basically they just talk about going together to this party, you know, and how she's still mad at Dorit. So then over at Garcelle's, she's getting ready for this party.
Wait, I just want to also say that I really liked when Kyle's complaining about Dorit to Sutton, and she's like, you know, I think, you know, I like Sutton. I think that Sutton is fun and kooky. She likes to have a good time. And she's much richer than I am. So I'm going to attach myself to her. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
I like being around her.
Yeah. I'll take whatever shit she throws at me. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Garcelle's getting ready and she tells us, she's telling her assistant, she's like, oh, I'm just so busy because I'm working so much. You know, I'm going to be in Coming to America too, but then I'm also doing two TV shows and trying to date. So I'm going to Nashville, then I'm going to North Carolina, then I'm going, I just can't wait till Halloween comes out and Garcelle's taking that role.
Yeah. Unlike other people, I actually don't blame my hair on a role I wrapped 2 weeks ago.
And let's see, everybody's basically just getting ready, right? So Sutton and Kyle and Teddy are all in a car together, and Sutton's like, I want to have fun. I'm just sick of everything being so serious. So Denise, she came on strong.
I like
she
that
immediately
Sutton
goes for Denise
immediately. And I like that Sutton is, I talk about how she wants to have fun and be carefree, and she's wearing a pussy bow that is like up to her nostrils. She is so done up and uptight. Like, her fashion is so uptight in that moment. It is so fussy looking. Oh, it cracks me up.
Teddy's like, what? Why was she so mad? Is it the glam thing? And Kyle's like, I'm just not ever going to say another word again. You know, I've explained myself to death.
And death is something that I understand because I recently shot the feature film Halloween. That's why I have the bangs. Sorry, everyone.
And she goes on again, like, well, I just don't know where I stand with Denise. You know, who am I going to get tonight? You know, the chill Denise or the crazy Denise? You know, I mean, talk about unbalanced.
Yeah. And then Teddy does the most Teddy thing ever, which is, I mean, she basically coins her new catchphrase. She's just like getting flushed. And they're like, Teddy, are you okay over there, little Teddy? And she's like, I'm fine. I just get car sick sometimes. Like, that should be like Teddy's that should be her housewife tagline. Season one was, hi, I'm Teddy. And now it's like, I just get car sick sometimes.
Hi, I'm Teddy. I get car sick sometimes. Like, she'll get a little bit more every season.
Yeah.
And then Sutton goes, good to know.
As she, like, presses herself up against the opposite window.
Yeah.
This is couture. It's not a collaboration.
So now let's go to Erica's old lady house. So Erica's like, here's to you, Tom. Sit with me for a second, honey. Have a seat.
All right, you've got something on your mouth there. Now tonight you're going to meet Sutton and Garcelle, Tom. You've never met these guys before.
Yeah, he's like, I understand the concept of meeting people. That's all right.
I know, but she's talking to him like she's going to need to feed him with a straw. Later, you know, she talks to him like he's 5 years old.
So Rinna and Garcelle and Dorit show up first, and not only is Garcelle wearing a pink coat, shirt, top thing, whatever, that matches Erica's, but Rinna happens to be wearing the exact same one as Erica's. So of course that leads to a lot of ha.
Yeah, Rinna's just screaming and squealing and screaming and and won't stop. And Tom's just like,
She's like, oh, Tom, don't worry, Tom. It's just sirens going by.
And Rinna's like, ha, we've worn the same pair of shoes. I channeled Erica Jane and became her. And then it just ends. It sounds like she's going on a trail, but they just cut it off.
So then the next car arrives and Kyle gets out and she pulls at her skirt and she's like, skirt's a little short. I'm like, so this is the reason why I brought that up earlier, because she was the one who was like, is this too short? Is this too short? And Marisa was like, yes, it's too short. And she wears it anyway. And then she's like, it's too short. I'm like, why didn't you change it? You knew it was too short. Mauricio said it was too short. You felt it, and now you wear it, and now you're going to complain about it.
Well, come on in, guys. Lisa Rinna and I have on the same dress. What a coincidence, stalker.
And Carl's like, oh, I almost bought that dress too, but I didn't.
So, Kyle. So,
and Kyle, that's the second time she's done that this season, too. Because yep. Remember when Rinna had on that zebra thing, and she's like, oh, yeah, I was going to wear that, but I decided not to. Like, she mm-hmm. totally, she slammed Rachel Zoe.
Yeah, totally. So, Kyle. So, Sean's
your sandwich,
on the way.
Your jelly's showing, right?
Oh, snappies. So, they start talking. Speaking of jelly, so now they're talking, and they're making, you know, polite small talk with Tom. And he's talking about the house. And Kyle's like, so how, like, I think it was Kyle who asked how long he's had the house for. And he says he's had it for 25 years. And Kyle goes, it's so beautiful. It's so old Hollywood. And Erica then is like, oh, yeah, Kyle's is the same way, but even older. So, like, that's what Kyle was getting to. It was like, this is such a beautiful old house, old Hollywood charm. But mine's a little older. Thank you, Erica, for the assist. Thank you.
Yeah, she's like, mine was built in 1882. And the people who built the Beverly Hilton built it while they built a house for John Wayne. And Tom's like, oh, really? Because I went to school with Spanky from The Little Rascals. I was in a movie. I got shot off the fucking roof. That's what happened to me, all right, John Wayne lover?
Yeah, I went to school with Pat Wayne. And let me tell you something. You haven't lived and met a lady named Pat Wayne, who often is called Wayne Pat. Guess she didn't like that very much. By the way, not even sure if she was a lady. She could have been a boy. I don't know. That's Pat Wayne for you.
And everybody's just sitting there, like, kind of awkwardly. And Garcelle goes, you're a really good storyteller.
And then Erica's like, do you get it now? Do you get it? Oh, man, I love those stories about Pat Wayne.
Yeah, Erica's like, yeah, you get it? People always go, ooh, that guy? And then I say, just meet him, honey, just meet him. It's like, Erica, they got it when they drove up to your fucking mansion, okay?
Just wait till you hear his Pat Wayne content. So Denise shows up, and she's like in jeans, so she's sort of casual. Oh, back to casual jeans. You never know what kind of Denise you're going to get. Is it going to be Denise in the jeans? Back to ragamuffin status? Or is it going to be glammed up Denise?
Real sociopath.
Ooh, she's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So Erica's like, oh, Denise, you get to meet your Tommy. You get to meet him finally. There he is. He's the one with straws coming out of his veins. And Denise is like, you're the only layer I love. Fuck. Sorry I'm late. My daughter's going to homecoming. What a date.
Yeah, she's a little taller than him, so I had to teach her how to be shorter, you know, because that's a woman's place, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, Big Pharma chased me all the way here.
Yeah, what was that?
Yeah. Stand tall, stand proud. Voices that care are crying out loud, Sammy.
Yes, and short people deserve love too, okay? How about we start teaching people that?
Yeah, you don't have to condescend to a short person. Just you be you, let the short person be them, and dance. Just dance like everyone's watching.
Dance like short people are watching.
If they could they're so short.
Dance like short people are watching your belly button, which is probably all they can see.
Was that insensitive? Did I say that? I don't remember saying that. So the astrologer shows up.
This is so stupid.
we're just like in a place today.
We are. We're in a bonkers place. And right before this started, we were like, all right, this doesn't need to be a 2-hour recap. And we're like, oh.
And then Erica picked up a spoon. So they walk into the, is it the dining room, I think? And Kyle's like, this is so elegant, which was her way of sizing it all up. And next week, she's like, I decide I want to redo my dining room. I guarantee in the next 5 episodes, that's coming up.
Yeah, Faye's going to be there with a measuring tape and an IKEA catalog. They're going
to
go
trying to fit cast iron furniture into that. That's her style. Ashley Furniture with the cast iron accents.
So Sean, the astrology guy, is there. And Eric is like, this is one of my best friends for decades. He's all right. And Rinda's like, listen, we've done the psychic thing and the woohoo thing before, okay? And everyone knows what happens. Everyone in Beverly Hills knows what happens at Camille's house. He will never emotionally fulfill you ever. Know that.
They just wanted an excuse to roll that footage again. And to that, I say thank you. Did you notice also that when Erica said, this is my closest friend to 10 years, Kyle goes, and we're just meeting him now? Because you know she does that deep voice thing sometimes when she gets like, she goes, we're just meeting him now? Like, she's so passive aggressive. I mean, true, but also passive aggressive.
So Sean's like, all right, who should I start with? And they start with Erica. And Sean's like, yeah, she's a Cancer, but her moon's Aquarius, and her favorite puppy is a Belvedere, which means she's strong and she pays well. All right, next.
Congratulations. You described the personality of someone you've known for 10 years. So, okay, Kyle, you're a Capricorn with a Libra moon and a Leo rising. All right, so you like consistency and practicality and direct honesty, but you also can't really take ownership of your crazy hair and dangling earrings these days. Blame it on movies. Is that true?
Capricorns with Libra moon rising, blame your bangs on everybody else. Okay, next.
You don't have bangs accountability, which is funny because you are best friends with someone who has a lot of accountability. So I think you think that by being friends with someone with accountability, you therefore get bangs accountability. But you, for some reason, are blaming it on, well, this is very specific, Michael Myers? Wow, those stars are really, they are really specific about you.
He's like, God, Kyle, you just can't stand when somebody's treated unfairly. Oh, right. Right. She just, did you see her hiding crutches a few years ago, sir?
Yeah. And Derek goes, well, he was spot on until he said you were fair.
I'll tell you what's fair, me being the new owner of Book of the People.
Erica, I don't mean to interrupt this young man talking gobbledygook, but will this food be served family style? Because that's really what I'm most accustomed to, now being the owner of Buco de Pepos.
So then they move on to Denise, and he's like, whoa, Denise, what an intensely complicated chart. She goes, not my first time hearing that one.
Yeah. One time in grade school, I had to do a project, and I made a chart half pie, half bar. Try to figure that one out. Complicated charts.
I did get first place, though, because they thought it was a lollipop, and who doesn't love a fucking lollipop? Am I right?
Am I right? Okay. Wow, you really never know what kind of person Denise will serve today.
So Sean's like, well, you know, you're loving, but a side of you is hidden, and you have the most to reveal. And Rinna goes,
and Kyle just whips her head around and just, like, points her hair fangs at Denise. Like, touche.
And he's like, well, you're the type that if someone breaks your trust, you'll keep a good face, but you'll conspire behind their backs on how to deal with them.
And Kyle just starts chomping on her food with, like, that vindication chomp. She's like, I'm not saying anything. I'll let my chomping do that all for me.
And Denise is like, that's true. And he's like, yeah, and you take your time to even the score. Come on, give me a fucking break. Like, everyone else is like, you like flowers. And then they get to the person that Erica doesn't like at the moment. And it's like, oh, you're a devious bitch. He's got major issues and will take revenge.
And then Kyle continues her gaslighting and goes, you know, the last time I saw Denise, she was screaming at me and freaking out. So what does she have plotted for me? I was like, Kyle, come on now, okay? She's not freaking Lee Harvey Oswald, okay? Relax.
Yeah, I think he was quiet.
Thing she has a plan for you is maybe, like, getting rid of the bobby pin and letting that hair down.
And so he's like, yeah, you'll take your time to even the score. And Denise is like, well, I haven't plotted revenge so far. So then we move on to Rinna, who, you know, of course, Erica loves. So her reading is easy. The only real devious one here is the one that nobody likes at the moment.
Yeah. So, yeah, Arrendis is basically like, everyone knows where they stand with her, and even if you want to hold back, you can't. And then they just quickly show a flashback of her saying, were people doing coke in your bathroom? Yeah, that's true. That's me. I can't hold back.
So Rena's like, you're awesome. And Garcelle's like, and easy on the eyes. So now it's Garcelle's turn, and she's fine. But it's dangerous if someone crosses her, because she's clear on what's right and wrong. What is this psychic even? Like, who pays this person?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is some shitty psychicry. I want Allison back.
Yeah, me too. So then with Dorit, it's all about how she feels. And when she's upset, it's difficult to reel her back in. It's like a tidal wave of emotion.
Have we ever seen one little ounce of emotion from Dorit ever?
Yeah, no, I think that's, I mean, when she gets into a tizzy, she is kind of like, you can't reason with her. She starts getting crazy, right? She's like, I ordered this meatball and spaghetti from Buca di Beppo's 45 minutes ago and it still hasn't arrived. Ma'am, it's actually right under your nose and you've already eaten one of the meatballs. That's simply not true. It's not true at all.
And you showed your husband your vagina. You showed me husband your vagina. Put it away, Ergo.
So he's like, well, you know, Erica just wants to be loved. And Sutton's like, well, you're opinionated, but people will take things personally when it's... Oh, no, this is her reading. He's like, you're opinionated, but people will take things that you say personally when that's not what's intended.
And she's, like, very happy about that. And then, of course, they show Teddy getting upset by Sutton saying, well, I thought you were going to be boring, and then I found out that you were pregnant, and a little birdie told me there's a trail of vomit leading from the car door all the way up the 101, so, you know.
And then Sean's like, okay, and now Teddy. Teddy, there is a dead person here that is telling me some information about your... And the dead person fell asleep. Hold on, let me see if I can pull anybody else through. Yeah, Teddy, all the ghosts are sleeping the second I said your name, so...
Teddy, the stars are telling me that you feel safety with deep connections and that you're inclined to gravitate towards one energy that you feel most comfortable with and to you nuzzle yourself in their bangs. I don't know what that really means, but...
You're comfortable with bang signs. And Garcelle is like, does Kyle have a bang sign? And he's like, yep, she sure does.
And Kyle goes, well, that explains things. Now everyone can't be so upset about, oh, why are you so close to Teddy? Because it's astrological, okay? And Dorit's like, well, but just admit it, though, that you're closer with her than you are with the rest of us.
Yeah. And she goes, no one's upset with you, baby. And Garcelle's like, why can't you just say you're closer to Teddy? It's blatant, Kyle. Yeah. And then Kyle gives her a look, and Garcelle's like, well, in my group, we can throw shade, but Kyle just has to be liked by everyone.
Oh, I love that. I was at the beginning of this episode, I was like, you know, I like Garcelle. She's not really doing much. And now I'm like, okay, I love Garcelle, because she's calling out Kyle for all the bullshit that we were always talking about.
Yeah, and Dorit's like, yes, didn't you even go to couples therapy last year? And Erica's like, yeah, you guys had therapy at your house. And Teddy's like, you guys, it was for breathing exercises, not for our relationship.
And she's like laughing really hard, almost overcompensating. She's like, it was our relationship. Hi, I'm Teddy. I get carsick sometimes.
And Carol's like, you guys have all lost your fucking minds. And Rena's like, I thought you had group therapy. So did Erica. So did Dorit. So did everybody that I told. They had group therapy.
And Dorit goes, Coyle, save the melodramatic denials. All I know is 1 + 1 is a couple, and you two were in therapy together. Buca di Beppo.
That's you were like a rigatoni with another rigatoni on a very large plate, girl.
You were like a bow tie pasta stuck on a wagon wheel. Two terrible shapes that no one likes, but everyone gets stuck with.
And Kyle says, I've gone from sleeping one night in Provence with somebody to couples therapy. What sign does that make me? Okay, tell me that.
Yeah. And Sean starts saying, like, now, guys, whenever you're having an issue with someone, what you want to do is get to what the other person needs to feel better. No, Kyle, take out the agent. No, put away the agency hat. No, that's not making anyone feel better. I know it's free. I know. No one wants it.
And Dorit says, I've been clear there. I've been clear, psychic man. And Rinna's embarrassed. She says she's so embarrassed by this whole thing. And then Sutton's like, but why does everyone even care? And Dorit goes, oh, wait, we haven't gotten to you and I yet, Mutton.
Sutton's like, I will say zip it to you. I will say zip it to you. See, it doesn't work on Atlanta when Tanya says zip it, but on Beverly Hills, it's like fun words. Like, I will say zip it to you. Zip it.
Yeah, my and mother says that's a Southern thing. Zip it. You better zip those lips, mister.
And the best thing is that Sutton gets mad because she's in this big, like, she has this big pussy bow and it's this big brown, like, silky thing that's, like, very airy and flappy. So when she gets mad, her bow flounces up and down and she's like, she looks like a very angry cat. Like, yeah. It's like someone squirted water in the cat's face and the cat is, like, turned around to be like, just all bouncy and perfect.
So Dorit's like, well, we haven't even gotten to us yet. And Sutton goes, well, I'll tell you this. I'm not happy. We have a lot to discuss.
Put that in your garlic bread basket from Booba to Beps, whatever it's called.
So Sutton's getting all worked up. She's like, you need to listen to me, Zipper. Zip it, Zipper. And Erica goes, hey, you're a guest in my home, ladies. I was like, oh, really? You're going to pull that card the week after you were talking about threesomes in someone else's home when they asked you to be quiet? Yeah. Really? The week after? Like, it doesn't even matter whose side I am on about that particular thing. You a hypocrite still, Erica.
So Sutton's like, you're right, manners before everything else, manners before poor people. Okay, so they escort Sean out of the house, lest he be exposed end of this fighting. And Sutton turns to Dorit and is like, I actually really like you. I mean, so for you to announce it to everyone that I was freaking out, I didn't deserve that. You know what I did deserve? A lot more money, just because I am a rich white lady who deserves more money. So give me that, please.
And Dorit's like, well, we're not girlfriends yet, Mutton. She's like, well, apparently we're not. And Dorit says, I walked into my friend's event, and I didn't like that someone... And Krause stops her, and she says, what do you think she's going to pull out a machete? Like, what did you think she was going to do this at this event? And Dorit says, well, I don't know. It could be a machete. It could be a giant plate of chicken parmesan that kids and adults would enjoy as well.
Maybe she would put on some William Shatner mask and stab a bunch of people. I don't know. I was in that movie.
So Kyle's like, we're bigger than this. This is stupid. That's so immature. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then they just insert a clip of Rinna throwing the glass in Amsterdam and coming for Kim.
I like when Kyle decides when they're bigger than something, when she's the one who has the most like immature fights of everyone.
Yeah, so Kyle is like, about to start sobbing at the table and saying, you're mean.
Mm-hmm. So Rinna's like, why are you so worked up? Why is Sutton so worked up? And Kyle goes, you guys, she's new to the group and she's richer than I am, so please be nice to her because I need to get invited to wherever she's going to go.
And Rinna says, well, this is my kid's launch party we're talking about. She's like, but she didn't do anything. Don't act like she did something. Now, Kyle's an asshole, but she's right in all this.
She is right.
They're coming after Kyle like they went to couples therapy, which didn't happen. It's just crazy. And now Rinna's acting like Sutton walked in with a knife ready to kill everybody at her kid's event, which didn't happen. But the reason it's so funny is because this is what Kyle does to people every season. And it's hilarious watching it get turned back on her. And she's totally unable to deal with it.
Well, Kyle and Sutton are feeling the wrath of Dorit because Dorit is the master of just fully exaggerating situations. So she's exaggerated, oh, they shared a bed. Now she's exaggerated, oh, they are in couples therapy together. She's exaggerated Sutton. We saw Sutton. Sutton just like muttered under her breath like, oh God, I'm going to freak out. And she was like trembling as in like she's probably going to cry. And now Dorit has made it sound like she was unhinged and was going to flip over a table. You know, it is. I regrettably agree that Kyle's not necessarily wrong in this specific aspect.
Yeah, she's just wrong as a person. So Sutton's like, well, I feel like some of the girls don't want to get to know me. That's just how I feel. And Rinna goes, you feel that? She goes, yes. And Denise is just eating, which I love that Denise actually eats. She's just like, fuck this. I'm eating this shit. And so Garcelle jumps in and she says, I feel like I'm new here, but no one says anything. You know, I talk to Kyle all the time and you just glaze right over me. And Kyle's like,
ah! It was kind of amazing because Kyle thinks that she's put in all this like great work kissing Garcelle's ass, but you know, like, oh, you're fabulous. You're just so fabulous, you know? And so she's shocked. And Garcelle tells us, you know, the more I get to know Kyle, maybe she's only good for the surface. You know, things like, I like your bag. You look great. You look fabulous.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Kyle going, well, listen, I said I think she's gorgeous and outspoken and I adore her bags.
Yes. She has exactly faith. And also Kyle goes, I mean, we haven't spent enough time together because you've been away too. The two implying, like, we've both been off shooting feature films.
Yeah, like, I'll give you this little bit. We're both working actors.
Yeah.
And so
we both are part of iconic movie reboots. And so, you know, that's just working against us right now.
And Dorit goes, then why'd you glaze over her then? And Carl says, shut up, you fucking asshole.
Dorit is so happy to, like, just fan those flames there. It's so good. So then Denise is like, well, Denise says exactly what I was going to say, which is, you know, she keeps calling us all fake bitches, but maybe she's projecting. Maybe that's you who's fake. Maybe that's what Kyle is, huh? Huh?
When I feel something, it just comes out, whether it's defending Teddy or defending you or defending you, Dorit, because I really did defend you, Dorit. I defended you. No, you teamed up with her to get rid of somebody that you've wanted to get rid of for a long fucking time. You didn't fucking defend. Get over yourself.
Exactly. I'm the one being honest. I'm the one.
And Garcelle's mad because she tried to say her feelings and they've already moved on to keep talking about everything else.
So now Kyle and Dorit are squabbling and Garcelle's like, I gotta go. So Garcelle, Rinna, and Denise leave. And Kyle doesn't even notice or acknowledge that they're leaving. She's still just talking to they're like, okay, bye. Bye. Remember that part where we said you don't pay attention to us? You just glaze over us? Bye. We've actually left the party now. Okay, we're gone.
Yeah, she never says bye or anything. So they get in the car, and Rinna tells Garcelle, you don't feel validated by Kyle. I get it. And Garcelle says, yeah, she just doesn't pay attention. And what she was wearing tonight was hideous.
Garcelle's like, I mean, if I said that to her, she'd be like, oh my God, Dorit. I guess she's talking about, what does she mean by that again? If I said that to her, she'd be like, oh my God, Dorit. Like, I guess whatever it is that Kyle said to.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't write that down. That's how I
seemed like a really
important
point when I wrote it down. I was like, this is important. I'll never forget the context.
Well, Kyle and Dorit are still squabbling at the table. And Kyle's like, people are accusing me of going to couples therapy. Like, what the hell? Do you know how ridiculous that is? And Dorit says, I don't know how ridiculous it is. Kyle! She says, well, don't be an asshole. So then back in the car, Denise is like, well, you know, Kyle. By the way, Denise has found some peanut M&M's somewhere. And it's just now eating. I mean, Denise is my fucking hero. So she's like chomping peanut M&M's. She's like, you know, Kyle always brings it back to her. He doesn't listen. Okay, she talks at us, not to us. She doesn't fucking listen. You know what? I don't give a shit. Oh my God, the green ones make me horny.
Just hit a home run in M&M's baseball. So Garcelle's like, are we being catty? Yes. That's what real girlfriends do. And Kyle deserves it. I was like, yes, she does deserve it.
And Brenda's just cracking up.
Yeah, Denise is basically like, you know, she talks at us, not to us. I just love that the three truly working actresses are just like, fuck Kyle. Well, Rinna's just more just laughing along. But I love that Denise and Garcelle, who are sort of like the quote-unquote big gets for the show, just fucking hate Kyle.
Yep. And Rinna's just saving this shit all up, you know, to bring
she's
up
like,
probably next week because she has long game.
She's like, can you say that again? I'm just writing it down real quick.
Yeah. Could you say this in my Siri? So back at the table, Erica's like, all right, Kyle, look, you saw a therapist together over anxiety. Kyle says, why are you guys saying couples therapy? She goes, it's a component of what she's saying about you being a package deal.
So this is where Kyle now does her her both guttural and nasal voice thing when she starts to cry. She goes, "You and I are better friends than that, and that's not cool. That's not cool." You know how she starts doing that? Like that weird sort of like alternate voice. You guys are not cool. It's not cool.
And Derek goes, "Well, you said be honest, and we're being honest. Why, you so mad, couples therapy lady?"
"In my opinion, she's not close with you at all, so it makes no sense. It makes no sense."
And Dorit's like, "Yeah, well, not everyone agrees with you in the moment, and you fucking freak out about it, you know?" And she's like, "Fuck you, Dorit. Fuck you. You don't get to tell me how I react to things. You don't get to tell me how I am."
"All right, I'll just say it. I think that your relationship with Teddy is weird. I've literally not known anyone who wants to wake up at 5 in the morning to drive down to Laguna Beach. That is weird, weird, weird."
And Carol goes, "Because you don't have good friends? Is that why?" And it's like, dun, dun, dun.
"You're so out of line. I'm not going to be insulted by something so wild like that. Just kidding. That was acting. I'm very insulted. See me in Chicago."
"And I do have good friends. And I actually consider you to be one of them. But at the end of the day, I am my own best friend. I'll be in Chicago, everybody. See you soon."
She had it coming. She had it coming. She had a couple's session with Teddy the whole time.
"Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, put it over her head and suffocate her stupid ass. I can't take it anymore.
Give me old Razzle Astrology. Razzle Astrology, Astrology." Okay, I'm workshopping it. I'm workshopping it.
Well, the second episode in a row ends with Kyle crying because she got called out on some stupid things. Kyle's crying because people said she went to couples therapy. Like, who cares? It's so stupid. This episode was hilarious.
Yeah, the chemistry is like working with the cast again. I'm really enthused. I'm so happy. I'm really happy that it's back on track.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Well, everybody, thank you so much for being with us another day. We will be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of New York City. That will be a video recap. If you want all of our videos, go over to patreon.com/watchwithcrappins and sign up on the Crappins On Demand level. We sure love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.